And on her website, you will see that she is a global ritual expert. She's written books. She's traveled. She's Barbara Bijou, and she's here today. And I am so glad. Please welcome Barbara back to you. And it has been way too long. It works. It's been way too long. But it's a divine timing that you're here. So welcome back to your Unity family. Thank you.
So I am so happy to be here, and I keep running into people. One person I haven't seen in 21 years. Another one, I think it was 4 or 5. So as we're all coming back into the world again, we're just building different pieces of our community. And today I really want to talk about how do we consciously end 2024. So I could take it, ask you to raise your hand if this was a hard year for anybody, a little challenging year, a little upsetting. How many of you are trying not to be but are concerned about next year, what's going to happen, right? Okay, so talk about release. I mean, to me, it's like, you know how during COVID we spent all this time washing our hands, constantly releasing germs? And I think we have to be just as conscious spiritually now about consciously releasing. So actually, every time you wash your hands, you can do that as a symbolic ritual to let go of any worry or upset or lower vibration that not just that you have created, but you've taken on. I would guess that almost everybody in this room is an empath. You just are because you care about people. And when you care about people, you tend to take on other people's energy. That it's not necessarily that it's bad, but it doesn't belong to you. And it doesn't allow your own inner light to shine out fully. So one of the things that is important as we come to the end of 2024, everybody just take a deep breath. Really, I know this is a sacred pause right now between what is, what was, and what will be. So with all this noise of 2024, we need some quiet, we need some reflection, we need some inner nourishment. And really, Mother Nature is asking us to reflect, to recalibrate, to strengthen our ability to shine in the world. And yes, as Britt said, it's Christmas, it's Kwanzaa, it's Hanukkah, all holidays of light. And to me, it's really about God telling us that we have the light inside us. Each one of us is light. And the more we brighten our light, the more we could shine it out into the world and literally lift people up. Because neuroscience tells us that this moment is we're all energy. And if you really want to change your life, you have to change your energy. And I know it sounds simple, it's not, but that really is a key. So it's a time to hold the light within yourself because the world really needs you. So know that cultures around the world all end the year by purifying, by water, by air, by fire, by earth. So you're going to be doing the burning bowl next week, which is great. It's also good around New Year's Eve to take a bath in, I like to do it in sea salt actually. Epsom salt, a lot of you know, it's great for your body, but sea salt is good for the energetic field, so the spiritual. And also, you might want to add a few white roses, which also help you clear out stuff. You want to just release by your voice, so you can go someplace where no one's going to hear you, although you all live in New York, so no one's going to care. And you can yell. Not really. How many times do you listen to anybody? You don't, right? Or as Native Americans do, is you write things and you bury it in the earth. So anybody who lives near Washington Square Park, where I live, know that it is filled with things that I have buried over the years. So I once heard someone say that holding on to past stories is like carrying old suitcases on your shoulders. And I really like that image because we just need to put them down. So at different stages of our lives, beliefs are necessary for our development. I mean, you're not going to give a 2-year-old matches and tell them to light something, or have them walk across a crowded street. However, there does become a time when they can cross the street, they can play with matches. So know that holding on to the old patterns, even if they were good for you, and I think this is a key, a lot of times we think we have to only release things that are bad. The truth is, there are times when we just need to release things that aren't serving us anymore, even if they're good. So this is a really good time to do what I call a not-to-do list, okay? Between now and New Year's, write your not-to-do list. What are you ready to let go of for next year to make room for something new? I'm sure you all know the teaching story of the student who went to the master and said, "Teach me." And the master said, "Sit down, let's have some tea." And he started pouring tea and pouring tea and pouring tea, and it was going over and flooding over the cup until it was all over the floor. And the student was horrified and said, "Master, excuse me, this tea is flooding over everything." And the master just looked at him in the eye and said, "When your cup is empty, come back and I will teach you." We can't learn anything new if we're just up to here. And 2025, by the way, is like the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. We are going into a 20-year period that is like no other. Things will not be the same. And I have no idea what it's going to look like in 5 or 10 years, but the way we do business, the way we handle money, the way we do a lot of things is going to change. So in order to be able to be flexible and open to new possibilities, we need to make space and not think that we're going to do everything the same old way. Playing small is not an option for next year. And, you know, every time you come together, we're all talking about the light and helping people and God within and all of that. And that only can happen if we really shine. It's really no longer appropriate to let your light be dimmed because you feel it's not good to share who you are. Your gifts are needed, no matter what they are. Your talents are needed. So it's so important to share, even with one person, it doesn't matter. But there was a quote from a Balinese dancer that I use a lot, and it said, "Somebody out there needs you, so live your life so that they can find you." I found something in my computer the other day, and I don't know who wrote this, it was by someone unknown. It's called Fear of Transformation. Some of you might have heard this, but if you have, it's worth repeating. Sometimes I feel that my life is a series of trapeze swings. I'm either hanging onto a trapeze bar swinging along, or for a few moments in my life, I'm hurling across space in between trapeze bars. Most of the time I spend my life hanging on for dear life to my trapeze bar of the moment. It carries me along at a certain steady rate of swing, and I have the feeling that I'm in control of my life. I know most of the right questions and even of the same right answers. But once in a while, as I'm merrily or not merrily swinging, I look ahead of me into the distance. And what do I see? I see another trapeze bar swinging towards me. It's empty. And I know in that place in me that knows that this new trapeze bar has my name on it. It's my next step. My growth, my aliveness coming to get me. In my heart of hearts, I know that for me to grow, I must release my grip on this present, well-known bar to move to the next one. But each time it happens, I hope, no, I pray that I won't have to grab the new one. But in my knowing place, I know I must release my grasp on the old bar. And for some moment in time, I must hurtle across space before I can grab onto the new bar. Each time, I'm filled with terror. It doesn't matter that in all my previous hurdles across the void of unknowing, I've always made it. Each time, I'm afraid that I'll miss, that I'll be crushed on unseen rocks in the bottomless chasm between the bars. But I do it anyway. Perhaps this is the essence of what the mystics call the faith experience. No guarantees, no net, no insurance policy, but you do it anyway, because somehow to keep hanging on to the old bar is no longer on the list of alternatives. And so for an eternity that can last a microsecond or a thousand lifetimes, I soar across the dark void of the past is gone, the future is not here. It's called transition. I've come to believe this is the only place that real change happens. I mean real change, not the pseudo change that only lasts till the next time my old buttons get pushed. I've noticed in our culture, this transition zone is looked upon as nothing, as no place. Sure, the old trapeze bar is real, the new one coming towards me, I hope that's real. But the void in between, it's just a scary, confusing, disorienting nowhere that must be gotten through as fast and as unconsciously as possible. What a waste. I have a sneaking suspicion that the transition zone is the only real thing, and the bars are illusions we dream up to avoid the void. When the real change, the real growth occurs, whether or not my hunch is true, it remains that this transition zone in our lives is incredibly rich. It should be honored, savored, yes, with all the pain and fear and feeling of being out of control. It's still the most alive, most growth-filled, passionate, expansive moment in our lives. And so transformation of fear may have nothing to do with making fear go away, but rather with giving ourselves permission to hang out in the transition between the bars. Transforming our need to grab the new bar, any bar, is allowing ourselves to dwell in the only place where change really happens. It could be terrifying, it could be enlightening, but in the true sense of the world, hurling through the void, we just may learn to fly. So that's where we are right now. And I want to encourage everyone, don't rush to make New Year's resolutions, please. This is not the time to do it. I mean, astrologically, if you believe in that, energetically, anything. This is the time to reflect, to be open, to see what God wants, to see what Spirit wants to work through you, to see what's going on, what could be new. Actually, the strongest time to really set real intention is the end of January, when we have seven planets aligning, it's a new moon, and it's also the Lunar New Year. That is really one of the most powerful times to really set intention. So it's not that you can't do it, or if you have a project in mind, that's great, but don't rush. Be in this place right now. So some of the things that are really good to do as we end this year consciously is reflect. Take some time. Unplug your phones. Stop watching, you know, whatever is scrolling around. Stop listening to the news. In Bali, which I love, and their New Year is really not until the spring, there's an entire day of silence. No one speaks. You go into meditation and silence, they do rituals around the statues and cleaning the temples, but everything closes except maybe the hospital. And if people are walking outside talking, people will stop them. It's really amazing. Can you imagine that happening in New York? For maybe a minute, everyone is quiet. And one of the biggest things is forgiving. So forgive, forgive, forgive. Let go of grudges, unresolved anger. I mean, if you even know, the name January means the two-faced god, Janus, right? And he was believed to be a very forgiving deity. So one of the customs at the time was to ask forgiveness to anyone you've caused harm to. And this includes yourself, by the way. In fact, I think that's the biggest place to forgive. Forgive yourself for any mistakes you think you've made. I mean, really, you don't have to tell anyone else, but it's so important. Otherwise, your heart hardens, and then you don't have access to the place where real transformation happens, which is the heart center. It's not the head, it's not any other place, it's the heart. That's where transformation happens. So anytime You can open your heart to yourself and as much as possible to forgive other people. This is a good time to do it. Release toxic relationships, okay? Some of you have to have them because you're related to them, but if you don't, you don't have to be mean, but just don't spend a lot of time. My friend Judith Orloff, I don't know if some of you know her, she's written a lot about empath. She always said, it's like their people are energy vampires. And they may not even mean it, but they're so empty inside that they just cling on to you, right? And then they take your energy away, and then you wonder why you're tired all of a sudden for no reason. So start looking at where the relationships, there's a give and a take. It doesn't have to be 50-50, but where you're giving and also receiving, so there's a flow. And that leads me to stop comparing yourself to other people. This is the worst part of social media for kids, as far as I'm concerned. They're always comparing themselves to people who look thinner, richer, more successful, and half the time it's not even true. So only compare yourself to yourself. Are you better than you were last year? If not, then it's time to make some adjustments and put in some changes in a gentle way, without beating yourself up. You know, when we kind of yell at ourselves, it's no different than, you've all seen little kids walk, right? What do they do when they start to walk? They fall. Did they fall once, 10 times, 100 times? Doesn't matter, they fall until they get it. But you never hear someone going, stop falling. But that's what we do to ourselves. We yell at ourselves when we're not making the progress that we think we can make or should make. So stop shooting on yourself, okay? Learn to embrace uncertainty. It was that story of the trapeze again. 2025 has a lot of potential for wonderful things to happen, but we also don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of unknowns going on in the world. So how do you embrace uncertainty? And part of it is you have to learn how to ground yourself. To really be here and not just spinning in your head, you have to be in your body. You have to do things that strengthen your body. My friend Lavinia, who is actually one of the founders of Equinox Gym, started a new program, an exercise program, and she talks about 2025 is a year for a life lift. Forget the facelift, it's a life lift, you know. So how do we make ourselves really stronger? So some of the ways that we do it, as Britt said, I love ritual. I don't want to repeat everything I've said when I've been here before, but some of you know that ritual was the way I healed myself of the death of my sister, who died when she was only in her 20s, and I was pregnant. And that was my gateway into God, to spirit, to healing. And over the years, I've traveled around the world, I've studied different rituals, I've created new rituals, and I find that it's very important to have that kind of structure. So just coming here is your ritual for connection, which is wonderful. So one of the things, I'm gonna tell you a lot of different things you could do, and pick something you like. So one thing that I do like is on January 1st in the morning, go outside and really watch the sun come up, if we have a sun coming up. Ask that the sun illuminate your heart and mind. Some people like to blow bubbles or ring a bell or anything just to acknowledge it. And then at night, for sunset, as you watch the sun setting, ring a bell again or blow bubbles to share your hopes and your dreams with the universe for the year. By the way, I do send out free meditations for the first 12 days of the year because I was taught by my spiritual teacher the first 12 days of the year are very important for setting intention, and it doesn't have to be specific, you know, I want this or that, it's more the qualities. So if anyone is interested, just see me or Josefa, who's here with me at the end, and we'll tell you how you can get them. Purify your space. More than anything in the last few years, I've been doing a lot of energy clearing for individuals, for groups, for Broadway shows, for companies, whatever. And I find that it's so important because wherever you are, whatever you're feeling, you're leaving that emotion in the space. You really are. You've all known. You walk into a room where people are upset, you feel upset. You walk into a room where people are praying and happy, you feel different. So important for you to clear out your own space. The simplest way to do it is to open some windows, even if it's cold, use either something like my space spray or sage or lemon and water, spray it all around, ring some bells. You can even take a feather if you want, if you're spurning anything, and open up to letting that old stuck energy go, okay? It's also a good ritual that I like is to do an intention candle. Again, this is intention for the energetic vibration. So take a big candle and carve the word unity on it. How perfect for this group. And sit for a moment and think what that means to you. Just close your eyes for a minute. So can you imagine a world where caring for each other was the norm? What would it be like if each person's main job was simply to share his or her or their unique gifts and talents? Then you can open your eyes, light the candle, and imagine this intention going out into the world that you're sharing, that we are custodians for this planet. Some things that cultures do that I'm not saying you should emulate, but I'll just tell you what people do in other cultures. In Cuba, when I was there for New Year's, on New Year's Eve, people take buckets of water and throw them out onto the street to represent clearing out the old energy. So you have to be careful about walking out at midnight in Cuba. Now, this is true. I mean, I almost got drenched. In Japan, it's a beautiful holiday where you bid farewell to problems and concerns. Again, it's all about forgiveness, cleansing your space. And then on New Year's, and there are people doing it in New York, by the way, the Buddhist temples strike their gong 108 times in an effort to expel the 108 types of human weakness. So I know the Zen Center does it. There's a few more probably online as well, if that's something you want to participate in. In Italy, although they don't do as much as they used to, they do it more in southern Italy. It literally is out with the old. What they actually do is they put furniture, household goods, everything. They used to throw it out the windows, so it was a little dangerous. But now they just put it out on the street, which is actually a great idea. It's a great way then people walk around and they take what they need. So it's, again, this is a great time for donating, for looking. I have a friend who does an earring party every year at this time because she goes, she has so many earrings, she never wears them. She invites all her friends to bring earrings they never wear and they all share them. And they take a new one, which I thought was kind of cool. I always like, on a more serious note, to take an inventory of the year. What were the wins, the highlights? What were the challenges? And as you revisit the past, it shows you where you've built stronger spiritual muscles, resilience, and how you really have done probably more than you think. So actually, everybody turn around to someone right now, and I want you to say, I'm proud that, and share something you're proud of. Just turn to anyone right now. So how does that feel? Good, right? You know, so many people have been taught not to share, you know, they thought, oh, you're being inflated, you know, and the truth is you're not. If you did something good, let people know. You don't have to walk around and be obnoxious about it. But it's really good. And this is great for any of you who have kids or grandkids or extended families to really have the kids share what they're proud of. What did they accomplish? And it doesn't have to be getting an A in school. Maybe it was they helped somebody or they shared their sandwich. You know, there's a wonderful ritual that isn't really done too much anymore by the Bantu tribe in Africa, which I was floored when I heard about it. A friend of mine literally brought this ritual into the school system in New Jersey once. And the ritual is called the chair ritual. So if someone does something that is wrong, just say they steal something, the person is put in the center of a circle in a chair, and everybody is sitting around them. And the rule is Everyone has to tell the person something good they've done. The only trick here is you can't lie. You can't exaggerate. It can be, thank you for smiling at my grandmother. Or you thank you for, like I said, sharing your sandwich with me, whatever it is. The whole idea is that the person realizes what they did is not who they are. And by doing that, it's way easier to change. They have to make retribution in some way, whatever it is, but they don't feel like they're a bad person. They just did something bad, and they separate it. And I think that is really important for all of us to learn that lesson. Divinations are big for New Year's all around the world. So we want to ask what is in store for us. For some people, they do it, you know, with coins. Some people do it with lead, which they don't use anymore. They did that in Europe for many years. People pick cards. Or you can do what I like to do, is just go on a spirit walk. Decide you're going to do it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, and notice signs from the universe. See what the universe is telling you. Maybe you're noticing a lot of, you know, families, and maybe that's something missing in your life, you know, that connection. Maybe you're noticing art and thinking, I need to really express my art more next year, whatever it is. But to look and see what kind of signs and symbols the universe gives you. Sometimes they're super clear, really clear, like some people open the Bible and they get a message, or very clear message. Other times it's a little bit vague. But as you learn to open up to these suggestions or ideas or whatever it is, you then get another perspective, which I always like. Another thing that's very good to do at the end of this year is do random acts of kindness. And one of the best things I know to do in New York City, especially with people in such need here, is to make packages of, like, I like to put like a pair of socks and maybe a power bar in it, you know, if I have some cash that I can give or something else. Socks and gloves, by the way, are really severely needed right now, especially for people who are homeless. And when you do it by looking someone in the eye and asking them what their name is. I learned that a bunch of years ago from a teacher, and it's made a huge difference to me because it puts it on another level, and I cannot tell you, and it's really brought me to tears more than once, how many people, when I say, what's your name, they'll look at me and they'll go, no one has asked me that in such a long time. Because people just throw a dollar at somebody and walk around, you know, as opposed to looking at them as a real person who's in need. And yes, we know some of them have mental issues that we can't fix or they're on drugs, but it's just setting that intention to look at, I'm human, you're human, I'm of God, you're of God, and it makes a huge difference. Which brings me to gratitude, okay? I know, being that you're in Unity, you understand about gratitude. So another ritual that I do a lot is a blessing ritual. And I learned this in Hawaii 30 years ago or so. And again, you decide how long you want to do it, 4 or 5 minutes a day, whatever. Everything you see, you bless. You bless the beautiful lights. You bless someone's gorgeous necklace that she's wearing over there, or that beautiful smile. You know, you bless your clothes. I bless my sneakers for letting me walk comfortably and not fall. You know, whatever it is. You bless the bus, you bless the subway, bless everything. And as my teacher said to me, and if you see someone and you can't think of anything nice to say about them, bless them for feeding the plants because everybody exhales carbon dioxide. That was my favorite, actually. It's true, right? So even if you hate someone, they're feeding the plants, so that's good for them. And going back to what I said about my friend Lavinia before for the physical, a good way of doing gratitude, I'm sure you all do gratitude rituals, right? Okay, but right now, if you can, stand up. If not, you could sit. It's fine. No pressure. And I want you to place your arms up in the air. I can't do it with two because I'm holding the mic. And I want you to say, I am so grateful, but bring in that quality. So I am so grateful for my family. I am so grateful for my health. And now you keep saying whatever you want, but bring it into your body. Just pull it in. Pull it in. What are you grateful? So grateful for Unity. So grateful for this community. I'm so grateful for where I live. I'm so grateful for the opportunities always coming to me. And physically, bring it in, just bring it in, bring it in. Great. Sit down. So doesn't that feel different than just saying it? There's something that we want to bring in the physical into. We're going to move spirit and physicality together, which is always good. A ritual that I've always wanted to do, and maybe I'll do it in 2026, is in Brazil on New Year's, they make offerings to the goddess Iemanjá, goddess of the ocean. So they have flowers and candles, and everybody is dressed in white, and they go into the ocean, and they make offerings. So, you know, I've always been taught to make offerings to the ocean whenever I swim. So I do it, and I don't always bring flowers and honey and all of that, but I always say a prayer of gratitude and ask permission to swim in the ocean anytime I do, actually. I've been doing it now for about 15, 20 years, and it makes a difference. So as you're co-creating, you're connecting with spirit. And just some fun things, so you want to travel this year? In South America, you take an empty suitcase and you walk around the block on New Year's Day with an empty suitcase. And that represents that you want to bring in love. You want to bring in travel. Also colors. So again, this is for New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And most of the time people do this with underwear, but you could do it with a scarf or whatever. Red means that you want to bring in love. White is for peace. Yellow is for prosperity and wealth. Green is nature, luck, adventure, healing. Blue is for wellness, for communication. Black is for power and taking charge. Pink is for compassion, friendship, and harmony. Purple is with spiritual power. And gold, bronze, and silver being bold and shiny. Here I am. Also, some of you grew up with food. Any of you grew up with food rituals around New Year's? Anyone? Yes, I see some people. So in Spain, you eat 12 grapes at midnight for good luck. In the southern U.S., a lot of times there's black-eyed peas, collard greens. They're supposed to bring money and abundance. What? What is it?
Hopinjá.
What is that? Oh, okay. Thank you. In Greece, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, it's a cake, Vassilopita. Vassilopita. Okay. And it has a coin in it, so whoever finds the coin is going to be especially lucky. Japan and a lot of Asia is eating fat noodles. So all of these things, again, these are fun things. They're just, you know, you don't have to do them. And I do a prosperity ritual. Some of you know this who know me. And I post it every year when is New Year's? Tuesday night, New Year's Eve? So I'll be posting it on my Facebook and Instagram. What you do is you collect coins. You could do dollars or euros, whatever you want. Get a big bowl, fill it with all this money. Then the first time you enter your home or your office, so if I'm staying home on New Year's Eve at 12:01, I go out my front door with this bowl, and I bless it with all the qualities that I want for the year. If I'm out at a party, I usually leave the bowl outside my door so I can do it when I come in, and I bring it to my office if you have a special office. You bless it, you throw it in, and then you leave it there for 24 hours. And then you collect it, and you give it away, just randomly, showing the universe you already have everything that you require for this year, and you are blessed enough to be abundant so that you're giving. So I like to put them sometime in just little plastic bags, and I'll give one to the woman at the supermarket, or, you know, I might just give it to a random person I see on the street, or leave it on someone's car. But it's a really fun thing to do, and it's also a really good thing to do. So the first 12 days, as I said, sets intention for the year, which is why it's important to be mindful of the qualities you want. It doesn't mean you have to make yourself crazy. If you have a fight with someone, don't say, oh, I ruined the year. It's stop. And actually, something I learned from actually a minister at Unity many years ago, which I love, is when you start to spin, you know how we are, mind, oh, here it goes again, or I'll never have this, or this isn't going to work out. What she said, and I've always remembered, is stop. Actually, everybody, think of something that normally gets you into a negative spin. I'm too young, I'm too old, the world, the politics, blah, 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 anything. And then instead of going there, just say to yourself, up until now, that's what I believed. And things are changing. You don't have to have the answer. There's something about saying up until now that just stops you spinning and is really powerful. So I want you to think of yourself as an architect this year. It's also, in numerology, 2025 is a 9-year. It's a year of the hermit, which means it's a year of completion. So it's really, how do we complete, go back to that not-to-do list? How do we complete things? And sometimes it's just stuff that you just have too much on your plate. And you know, you said you've been writing that book for 20 years and you never started, maybe just forget about it this year. And if you're inspired in 6 months, start it up again. But don't just have all those empty suitcases weighing you down. So think of yourself as an architect this year, a designer, and as a do-it-yourself project. So your attitude and the choices you make build the house that you live in tomorrow. So build wisely. Work like you don't need the money, love like you've never been hurt, dance like no one's watching, and really light up your life. So there's an old saying that angels fly because they take things lightly. So every time, and again, because I'm into rituals, every time you turn on a light, or you plug in your phone or your computer, think that you're plugging into God. Think that you're plugging into this light that will just fill you, which will guide you, which will protect you, and which will dissolve any heaviness that you're holding on to. So it's like this light will illuminate your heart, just like the sun illuminates the world right now. And just really be the light. So I will be hanging around later. I could talk forever, as Britt knows, so I won't. But again, this is going to be a very interesting year. We really are in the age of Aquarius, which is very different. All my astrologer friends have said there's great possibilities, but we're still in the breakdown before the breakthrough, so just be aware of it. And again, please, if you don't know how to ground, do you all know how to ground yourself? Just raise your hand if you do. I mean, don't be ashamed if you don't. Who doesn't know how to ground themselves? Okay, so more of you don't, so let me just ground you before we leave, okay? You can do this standing up or sitting down, it doesn't really matter. So close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to feel from the soles of your feet that you're dropping cords down into the earth. Just like a tree roots into the earth now. Feel these roots going down through all the layers of concrete, rock, deep down into Mother Earth. And in the center of the earth, I want you to imagine a beautiful lake now of crystals. This has the energy of Mother Earth. Love, nourishment, support. And she offers you this beautiful energy to take back with you. So just imagine you're wrapping your cords now around some of this crystal. And like you're moving up an elevator shaft, just bring it up, 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 through the soles of your feet, through your legs, through your entire physical body. And just take a moment to thank Mother Earth for grounding you so that you can be flexible and move, but yet really grounded and rooted like a big tree. gently sit down as we move into our meditation, placing your hand over your heart and just saying to yourself, I am worthy of all blessings. And imagine you could access the attributes of the heart, breathing in divine love, total unconditional love. Nothing you have to do to deserve it. It's your birthright. Breathing in compassion for yourself as well as others. Just breathe it in. Breathing in and connecting to the healing presence, knowing you have the ability to access healing, both for yourself and for others. And now breathing in deep, deep peace, that peace beyond understanding, that center point in the midst of chaos. From this place, know that you will be guided and protected. As you repeat this affirmation, all the people and projects that I am seeking are also seeking me. And I give thanks to God to put us together in the right divine way. Now ask Spirit, what is one thing I need to let go of before this new year? And what is one quality I need to bring in? And take a few deep breaths. And then very gently open your eyes. Thank you, everybody. It's always a pleasure to be here. And I really wish all of us a wonderful, prosperous, healthy, joyous new year with many, many possibilities and deep, deep spiritual connections.